Good morning. If you want, you can be turning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin there in just a moment. Hasn't it been a great blessing to be here this morning? If you missed a 9 o'clock service, you missed a wonderful lesson by Michael. I ask you that whatever reasons we have that we may not be able to make it out to our 9 o'clock service, that we look at ourselves and truly strive harder to be here for that, because it is such a wonderful blessing from that lesson that he delivered us. This morning we also have been here for a wonderful Bible class. For us, we were led by Neil. Wonderful scripture, wonderful discussion of those scriptures, seeing what God wants us to do in our lives, how full and wonderful His Word truly is, giving us all that we truly need. We have all been edified, I think, that we can all say that we have been edified this morning, being here together, singing songs of praise to our God, praying wonderful words spoken to our God, wonderful songs. But most importantly, hopefully it can be said that we have praised our God this morning. We have brought Him glory, not only just edifying ourselves. If you don't know, this is mine and Shay's last Sunday that we will be with you here at Northwood. We'll be here on Wednesday night, and then on Saturday we'll be moving down to Dothan. And so if you will, for just a moment, indulge me in just my showing you my great appreciation for what you have done for Shay and I over these past 4 years that we've been with you here. I cannot begin to tell you and express in words how thankful we are for the examples that so many of you have set for us, the kind words that so many of you say. Miss Janice Smith, she always has a kind word to say to us and always builds us up. I thank her for that. We have people like Levi who lead our singing, Michael, so many others who lead our singing with such zeal that I cannot begin to tell you how grateful and how blessed we have been to be blessed with these top men. We have our Lord's Supper talks, these men who come up here and truly study the Word and look at it and bring to light things that we maybe have never thought of in that way. And it is so wonderful, and we are so blessed at Northwood to have that. And I just want to tell you how thankful we are to have been able to spend this time with you all. And as we look at this in this town of Tuscaloosa, as many of you have told us, that people come through and people leave. That's just the nature of the town. And that is sad when people come in and they've spent time, we've got to know them, and then they must move on. And we have had the halls that left this past week, we're leaving this next week, and many others will come through and leave as well. But if we never meet on this side of heaven again, we can all look forward to that great day, that day that we will be all reunited once again in heaven. And I want to read with you 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." As we leave, as me and Shay move to Dothan, if we never meet with you as a congregation on this earth ever again, I look forward to that last day that we can all meet around the throne of God and sing praises to His name for all eternity. And I pray that we will all strive to keep God first in our lives so that we all will be there on that very last day. On to our lesson for today, though, in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, begin reading with me in verse 41. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. But supposing him to be in the caravan, they went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?' They did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. We have a story here in Luke chapter 2 that is very unique to our Bible. We have the account of Jesus being born. We have those stories at the beginning of Jesus' life. And then we really pick it back up when he's about 30 years old for his ministry. But here in Luke, we are told a short story of when Jesus is in his adolescence. He's a 12-year-old boy, and we are given this story. And we look at Mary and Joseph. We read that the angel's coming to them and telling them that Mary will conceive a child, and it will be the Son of God. They know how important Jesus is going to be. And we look at this story as they look at Jesus. They know who their son is. Obviously, they don't fully comprehend how important he truly will be and is. But they know that their son is special. They know that they have a son who is not Joseph's son, but the Son of God. And yet, they lose him. And we look at them and say, what were they thinking? Wouldn't you think that, I mean, with our children that we have, I don't have any, but with your children, you keep a close eye on them, do you not? Because they're precious to you. Well, this is the Son of God that they have been entrusted with. Wouldn't you think, knowing how important he is, knowing how special he is, they would keep a very close eye on him? Make sure that he is not lost? They knew how important he was, and yet they lost him. When we look at our own lives this morning, as we look at this scripture, when we become a Christian, we enter into a covenant relationship with Jesus. Do we not realize how important he is? How special Jesus is? How wonderful it is that we have a relationship with him? And yet, do we ever lose him? We know how special he is. We know how fortunate and blessed we are to have that relationship with him. And yet we lose him. Not truly looking at him for how special he is and making sure that we are always in his presence. So read with me once again, verses 41 and 42. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. We start out here in this story of Mary and Joseph are obviously godly people, are they not? They're following through with the commands that God had given them to go to Jerusalem, to celebrate this feast of the Passover. We have very good people here, Mary and Joseph, great examples to us. And as we look at our lives, we start off, we become a Christian, we can become godly people. We're doing the things that God would have us to do. We're serving Him in all that He wills. We're here on Sunday morning, we're doing what God has commanded. We're not forsaking the assembly of one another. We meet around His table as He commanded us, remembering His sacrifice until He comes. We do these good things, but is there a danger in doing those? Is there a danger in always coming to church and just doing these acts? If we truly keep our heart in it, no, that's what we should do. But yet when we come together, we meet around this table, we listen to these sermons, there's a tendency in the world to become complacent. To go through the motions, just say, you know what, I'm a great person. Look at all the things that I do. I'm a wonderful person. As we study on Wednesday nights, the Sermon on the Mount, we start with, blessed are the poor in spirit. When we do these wonderful things, we do what God wants. We're being a good Christian, a good follower of His. Sometimes we start to elevate ourselves. We no longer think that we're so poor in spirit. We say, God's lucky to have me. I am so wonderful. Or we become that complacent and just go through the acts of of worship, and we don't even put our hearts into it anymore. We become complacent. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. There is a danger when we are not keeping our hearts into it. If we just come here and go through these acts and don't truly focus on who we are worshiping, we're not ensuring that we are in the presence of Jesus, that we just do things because that's what we've always done. We become complacent. And a fool destroys them, the complacency of fools can destroy them. This complacency can lead to us losing Jesus. Back in Luke chapter 2, verse 43, "And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it." I think the danger that this complacency can lead into our lives is that we lose Jesus, and just as Joseph and Mary did not realize that Jesus was not with them, the same thing I think can happen in our own lives. We're here this morning and we say that's all that is required of us. I'm here, I'm doing what God willed, and yet have we lost Jesus? Have we, not realizing it, lost our Savior from our lives? We are no longer in that covenant relationship because we have become complacent. We're going through the motions, not truly doing what He has willed in spirit and in truth. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 20 through 23. Very common passage here. Verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" We look at the complacency that we have in our lives. This going through the motions of doing things. We say, "Lord, I went to church every Sunday. Lord, I never missed a Wednesday night Bible service. Lord, I even went to the 9 o'clock service." There's only half the crowd on 9 o'clock. We don't have to go to that one. "I even went to that one, Lord." On that last day, what will He say to us? We say, "Yes, you did. You have a relationship with my Son. You have a relationship with me. Enter in to your reward." We say, "I never knew you." That is a danger that we have, that it can look to everyone around us and even to ourselves. We can fool ourselves into thinking that we are fine. We have to fight that battle of complacency every day. That battle of truly serving God in spirit and in truth, if we are to please Him. If we are to make sure and to ensure that we have a relationship with Him. So moving on to verse 44 in Luke chapter 2. "But supposing him to be in the caravan, they went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances." Once we realize that Jesus is lost, Mary and Joseph, they realize that, you know, he's not here with me. We need to find him. And where is the first place they go to look? They go to their family and their relatives who's in the caravan with them to find Jesus. In our own lives, when we finally realize, I'm not with Jesus. I have lost him. Where is the first place so many times we go to look? We go to our family. And as this being Father's Day, isn't that a wonderful place to go look for Jesus? Hopefully we have been blessed with godly fathers in our lives who has led us in the way of truth, who have brought us up to love God, to know who He is, and to know His statutes. We are so fortunate and blessed to have those fathers in our lives. And to be a true father on this Father's Day, if we want to say we are good fathers, there's no other way to be a good father but to have Jesus in your own life, not lose Him, and then to train your children to know Him as well. If we're not doing that, we're not being good fathers. But being that, we go to our families, we look for Jesus there. Is there a danger in that as well? Hopefully, as we've said, it can be found that Jesus is in our families. But oftentimes with our families and the relationships we have, the love that we feel toward them, a lot of emotions are in those relationships as well, is it not? We go to our families, we know that we have lost Jesus. We do not have Jesus in our lives. And we go to our father, our mother, our grandmother, our grandfather, and we say, but that's how they've done it. That's all they're doing, so that must be all that's required of me. We fool ourselves into thinking that if grandma did it this way, that's all that we must do. And I can find Jesus by following her example. By His example. So oftentimes, those emotions that we have to our families cannot help us find Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not think that I come to bring peace to earth. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There is a danger going to our family and supposing that our family is always right, that our family will always have the answer. We go to Jesus because He says He came to put a mother against her daughter, man against his father, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. We serve God, not our family. Jesus can be found in the Bible, not in our family sometimes. Hopefully, the Jesus is in our families, as we've said. But we have to realize, we pull those emotions out of it and say, if they're not correct, I need to find Jesus. And that's not where He is. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test, I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. We have to examine ourselves. As we've said, hopefully we have those godly fathers, those godly mothers that are raising us up. That Jesus, they have that relationship with Jesus. We have to examine ourselves. Do we have that relationship with Jesus? Do we have Jesus in our lives as they do? We have to test ourselves because their faith will not get us to heaven. Their faith will not save my soul. It's an individual thing that we must do if we are to be pleasing to God. Back in Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verses 45 and 46. When they did not find Him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for Him. Then after 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. We realize that Jesus is not with us. We're not in the presence of Jesus. We have lost Jesus. Mary and Joseph, they look around their family, and He's not there either. So what do? They go back to Jerusalem, and they search everywhere for Him. For 3 days, they search for Jesus, so that they may find Him. We must do the same thing. We must search diligently for our Savior. We have to go on a search to find Him. There's an old saying, you know, if you lose something, you know, I lost my keys. Someone says, well, they're going to be in the last place you look. That makes sense, doesn't it? Because once you find them, that's the last place. Jesus can be found, but He's only going to be found in one place. He's not going to be found. We can search everywhere. We can search the whole city of Jerusalem for Him. But is that where He's going to be found? Jesus can only be found in one place. In John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus can only be found, as I said, in our Bible. Jesus is called the Word of God. He has been given to us. He has been preserved throughout the ages so that we can come to know Him. So that we can find Him. But yet, what do we have to do to find Him? We can search everywhere. We can say mother and father. We can look at our families. We can look all over the world looking for reasons and ways to find Him, but no, the only place that Jesus can truly be found is in our Bible. In the words of God that have been preserved for us. And if we are truly to find Him, we have to dig into His Word. To dig into it and see, what does He truly want of me? What does He require of me? And we must do all of those things. He has given it to us in a way that is easily understood. You don't have to be a very intellectual person to realize the commands of God, that He has ordered us and commanded us to do to find him, to enter into that covenant relationship. We must read, though. And we must search. Because if we are not willing to search our scriptures to find what he wills us to do, we will find ourselves not in his presence for all eternity. In verse 47 of Luke chapter 2, "And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers." In verse 48, "When they saw him, they were astonished." When we search the scriptures, when we read of who our Savior is, we read of all the things that he has commanded of us, all the things that he has done for us, will we be amazed? If we truly want to find Jesus, we will absolutely be amazed. We read of a man who was in heaven. He is God. Through him all things were created, and by him nothing, if without him nothing was created, that was created. He came to earth, became a man, and died for us. We read this morning around our Lord's table this morning of just some of the things that he went through, both physically, emotionally, all of those things. That is who our Lord is. And that is amazing that he would do that so that he can have a relationship, so that we can have a relationship with him. Turn over to John chapter 7. John 7, verses 45 and 46. "The officers who came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, 'Why did you not bring him?' The officers answered, 'No one ever spoke like this man.'" Quickly turn over to Matthew chapter 7 as well. Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29. After probably the greatest sermon that was ever spoken, it ends with 28 and 29, "And when Jesus finished these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes." We realize in our own lives that we have lost Jesus, that we need to find him. We go out searching for him, and we go into his word searching what he wills us to do to find him. Will we be amazed? As those men said, "No one ever spoke like this man." We were astonished at his teachings. Is that you this morning? When we search for Jesus, are you amazed? Are you awestruck at the majesty of Jesus? At his glory? And what he has went through so that you have the opportunity to have that relationship with him? We must do that. We must be awestruck. We must be amazed if we are to truly find him. In verse 48, "And when they had saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you.'" We go to the Word to find Jesus. We realize that, you know, we are not in that relationship with him, and we need to correct that. But yet, we are going to have to humble ourselves, to take our pride out of it and realize that Jesus did not leave me. Jesus did not leave me, but I left Jesus. There's a tendency, I think, in the world to blame Jesus for bad things, for us losing him, saying, you know, God has forsaken me. Why have you done that? You have left me. Is that always the case? Is that the case? No. We have forsaken Jesus. We have left him. It's not the other way around. Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews 13, verses 7 through 9. "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is a good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by fools which have been not benefited those devoted to them." Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing. He is always there. It is us who leave him. And we have to realize that.
We have to humble ourselves and say, I have left you. And I have to come back to you because you are there. Verse 49 of Luke chapter 2. And when he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? Mary and Joseph, they said, well, you know, we've been searching for you. Why have you treated us so? And Jesus says, how did you not know where I'd be? Of course I would be here. In my Father's house, doing my Father's business. And the great thing is, when we lose Jesus in our own lives, we are no longer in that relationship with Him. Is Jesus hiding from us? Does Jesus not want to be found? No, as we said, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is there, and He wants us to find Him. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And when the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Jesus wants us to find Him. And He is there hoping that all will come to repentance. All will come back and enter into that relationship with Him once again. That is what His will for us is. We must follow through with that. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord that He may have compassion on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. So oftentimes when we realize that we have left Jesus, that we have lost Him, we know that something is missing in our lives. We know that we are in the wrong. We know what to do. We know we must come back to Him. And it's so often that we'll sit there in these pews and we say, I know I'm not right. I know what I must do. But yet, on this Sunday, we say, no, it's not worth it. Just another week and I'll do it next week. So we sit through the invitation song. Maybe we're gripping the back of that pew and our knuckles are white because we know we need to make corrections in our lives. We know we need to enter into that relationship with Him. But yet we say, it can wait one more week. I really need to do this or that this week. Next week I'll really enter into that relationship and I'll start my walk with Jesus for the first time or again. And yet the next week comes along and we push it back. We say, it's okay, I can do it one more week. And that grip on the back of that pew gets a little bit lighter. And what's the danger in that? Each week that we rationalize in our minds, we push it off, before long, we stand up for the invitation song and we feel fine. There's no correction we need to be made. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. If we rationalize things, if we deceive ourselves and we say, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, are we going to have that opportunity later if we continue to push it off? Seek Him while He is near, while He can be found. Come back to Him. Find Jesus before it is everlasting too late. In verse 51 of Luke chapter 2, verse 51, and He came down with them and came to Nazareth and continued in subjection to them. And His mother treasured all these things in her heart. When we do, we come back. We come back and we find Jesus once again. What is our attitude? We realize how destitute we were when we had lost Him. We realize how worthless we were when we lost Him. And we cherish Him just as Mary did. Mary cherished and treasured all these things in her heart. When we find Jesus, we must do that same thing, or we will lose Him once again. Jesus, as we've said, is amazing God, what He has done for us. We are so blessed to have that relationship with Him. And yet if we do not cherish it, we will find ourselves losing Him time and time again. One final passage this morning. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. For after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first, for it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than to know it, than knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to his own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. In our own lives this morning, we examine our lives, we examine our relationship with Jesus, and we need to realize, am I truly in a relationship with Him? Do I have Jesus in my life? Am I complacent in the things that I'm doing? Do I think that I'm bringing everything to the table and Jesus is lucky to have me? We come to Him realizing that we have nothing, we're poor in spirit, and He is everything. We realize that if we have lost Him, that we must find Him. We search for Him diligently. We are amazed at the things that He has done for us and who He is. We come to Him because He's not hiding. He wants to be found. We come to Him and when we find Him, we truly cherish Him for who He is and what He has done for us. Never wanting to leave Him again. Never wanting to lose Him again. But when we lose Him again, it happens time and time again, it would have been better for us to have never known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. A dog returns to its own vomit. Is that what's going to be said of you? That we knew the way of righteousness, we had that relationship with Him, and yet we return to our own vomit. It's a disgusting image, but that's what God tells us it is. But no, we have to truly appreciate and cherish Jesus and that relationship we have with Him. And so when that last day comes, we started this morning off, I pray that each and every one of us will meet around the throne of God for all eternity singing praises to His name. But that will only happen if we truly cherish Him and truly do what He wills us, always making sure that we are in the presence of our Lord. So we have a question we must ask ourselves. Have we been in that relationship? And have we walked away from it? Jesus has not left us, but we have left Jesus. If so, we need to make correction in our lives. Come back to Him this morning. Begin cherishing Him to never leave Him again. If you've never entered into that covenant relationship with Him, you can come forward this morning believing that He is the Son of God, confessing His name, repenting of your sins, and being baptized with Him, raised to walk in newness of life, raised to walk a new creature. You have found Jesus. We can cherish Him for all eternity. If you need anything, please come forward as we stand and sing.